Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you, to come to you. And Lord, we do look forward to the opportunity to see your face, to be with you, to rejoice with you, to celebrate you, to love you. And God, I thank you for the church. I thank you for the opportunity to come together, even virtually, and open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you just bless the study of your word at this point as we come together to refine our minds by your truth and by your spirit. So Lord, I pray that you give me the ability to speak with clarity and give your people the focus to hear your word and apply it to their lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Well, good morning, church. It is good to see you. We are so glad that you have taken the time to come and join us for worship. And I know it looks a little bit different. I know we have been doing this for a little over a month now. I know that's hard to believe. And while I'm thankful for the ability to have online worship services and the ability to have live stream prayer services and the ability to gather virtually into small groups, I just have to say it is just not the same. It is not the same. I have to admit, I miss worshiping with you in person. I miss seeing you in the hallway or in the foyer and saying hello, and I miss serving beside you. I don't know. There's just something really special about when the body of Christ can physically come together as the people of God. And I look forward to that day returning soon. But one thing is for sure, we will return a changed people. We will return a changed people. And I say that because there is no such thing as a stagnant faith. We are either progressing in our walk with Christ or we're regressing. And I have to be really certain that God is using this time, as life-altering as COVID-19 is, He is using it for His purposes. In fact, I believe that He is using this time specifically for the family. He is building up. He's doing something really special within the family. For instance, I've heard of couples communicating more. I have heard of couples praying more and just enjoying the opportunity and the stillness of being husband and wife. And for those with kids, it is also very different. School is canceled or it's at home. There is no sports, no arts, no extracurriculars, nothing. And as a result, families are worshiping either for the first time or more consistently in the home. They're coming around the dinner table and they're discussing God's truth. And on top of that, they are having fun. I have seen so many different ways families are having fun, from campouts in the backyard and in the basement to hilarious TikTok videos. But as things change, obviously, there's always new challenges. As a result, some parents are feeling overwhelmed. Parents are feeling a little frustrated. Kids are feeling frustrated. Just listen to young Ben's journal entry from his first day of school on March 16th. He writes this: "It is not going good. My mom's getting stressed out. My mom is really getting confused. We took a break so my mom can figure this stuff out. And I'm telling you, it is not going good." Something else really popular right now are sidewalk murals. Kids and I have walked through the neighborhood. We've ridden our bikes through the neighborhood. And we've often seen just various sidewalk murals. But I want you to check this one out: "Save me from my kids." And lastly, you might have heard Justin Timberlake was recently interviewed and he was asked, "Hey, how are you and your wife, actress Jessica Biel, doing during these times of social distancing?" And his response was this: "Yeah, we're mostly commiserating over the fact that the 24-hour parenting is just not human. So whether it's the toil of around-the-clock parenting, or it's attempting to teach Common Core math. To my fellow parents, I tell you, hang in there. And remember that the Lord has given us a wonderful gift in these children. Psalm 127 says that they are a reward and a heritage, and therefore we are to be good stewards of them. So for all these reasons, I feel like this is a prime time, a prime spot for us to look at parenting instruction in God's Word. Now, I realize the mere mention of this topic for some is not that exciting. Maybe you're beyond the child-rearing stage. Perhaps you aren't there yet, never will be, or have no desire to be. I still encourage you to stay with me, because the truth is, most of us are going to maintain some level of engagement with children, whether it's our own children, our grandchildren, our nieces, nephews, neighbors. Perhaps you are one of our all-star saints who serve in our children's ministry or our student ministry. Or maybe you just know parents, and the Lord wants you to hear this message so that you can speak some of this truth into their lives. Regardless of where we are, I truly believe what we're about to study is beneficial to all of us. So if you would, open up your Bibles or scroll to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, God's people have just finished this 40-year sentence of wilderness wandering. And now Moses is prepping this new generation of Israelites for their entrance into the promised land. And he does this by really providing a brief history of their people in chapters 1 through 4. And then he moves into chapter 5 and he retells the law. He begins to retell the law to this new set of Israelites. And then we get to chapter 6. And we really arrive to what many will call the heart of the Hebrew faith. It's the Shema. It's like the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. And here Moses provides very specific instruction, describing what it is that they're going to have to do in order to thrive in this new land. And what we'll find is success has a lot to do with what takes place in the home. So let's read this together, beginning with verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you, your son, and your son's sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. All right, so what I'd like to show you are four guidelines for growing godly children. Four guidelines for growing godly children. This is straight from the scriptures, but I by no means am any kind of parenting experts. We're going to go straight to his word. And let me be clear about something real quick. We will not, by our parenting, save our children. We will not, by our parenting, save our children. The power is not in our parenting. It's not in us. Only the Spirit of God can. But we can pray, and we can plead, and we can put kindling around them and point to the joy that is found in Christ. And that's what we are talking about here. This is what I mean by growing godly children. So let's look. All right, number one, if we're to have any success in growing godly children, we must know God ourselves. We must know God ourselves. The truth is, we're never going to be able to lead our children somewhere we have never been. That's why Moses turns to the head of the household and says, I'm teaching you these commandments that you may fear the Lord your God. You see, it doesn't matter how wonderful or how caring or how kind someone is. If that person does not know the Lord, they will not succeed in training that child into His image. That goes for parents, grandparents, teachers, any caregiver. Salvation is absolutely essential for true spiritual instruction. In fact, this is precisely why we make sure that every teacher in our school at Southfield Christian, every leader in our student ministry, every teacher in our elementary ministry, they both profess and they demonstrate a living, viable relationship with Christ. Parents, I tell you, the most incredible thing that you can do for you and your family is to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's why. In order to disciple your children, you have to be a disciple yourself. In order to grow godly children, we have to have a right relationship with God. And secondly, it demands our obedience. We must, as parents, obey God. It's no coincidence Moses uses the word command or commandments, not one, not two, but five times in this passage. He also mentions similar things like statutes and rules, all to stress the criticalness of obeying the Lord. In fact, this admonition stretches across three generations. He says, you, your son, and your son's son. This is the way the Lord is really pointing back to the home. And He's saying that the home ought to be this wellspring, this source, this haven of spiritual instruction, both by knowing Him, but also by obeying Him. You see, our responsibility as parents isn't limited to just talking about the Lord. We must also walk with Him. Friends, there's no better example for a child, no better witness for a child than to have their parents establish God's rule in their home, making His desires our desires, making His standards our standards. In other words, effective family discipleship is much more than just do as I say. It must include do as I do. Recently, my son Jack and I have been playing a lot of basketball. If it were up to him, he would play every minute of every hour of every day. And with this recent stay-at-home order, we have been able to play a lot of basketball. But just the other day, I wanted to teach him a little bit of technique, and specifically how important it is to dribble with the opposite hand that your opponent is on. And as I tried to verbally explain this, he eventually just kind of looked at me like, really? It's about dinner time. Mom's probably going to call us in. You're wasting our time. And so it just kind of fell flat. But then I decided to say, hey, you know what? I encourage you to try to steal the ball from me while using this technique. And it was as if a light bulb went off. And suddenly he got it. And he began to actually use this same approach against me as we played basketball. And all of a sudden, what he's seeing is he saw me do this, and I demonstrated it before him, and now he's doing it himself. And that's precisely the approach that God is calling us when it comes to obedience, that He wants us to obey. We've got to model obedience for our children, not just when it's convenient, not just when it seems important or while others are watching, but all the time with every facet of our lives. So growing God is first knowing Him and it's obeying Him. But that's not all. Thirdly, we must love God. Why? Because verse 4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He is the one absolute God. There is no other. It is Him alone. He is the unique, the one and only, omnipotent, sovereign Lord. And since our Lord is one, don't you think that we ought to be very careful not to divide our affections between He and something else? Which is what we're told in verse 5. Verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Parents, if we truly want to see our kids fall in love with the Lord, then He better be the center of our lives and the center of our home. We need to make it abundantly clear that no job, no person, no thing, no toy, no friend, no hobby comes before our relationship with Him. You see, even though they may not act like it, children are watching. They're watching our every step. They're watching what we watch. They're watching what we read. They watch what we consume. They watch what we listen to. So we got to be very careful that they see us loving Jesus, that we're falling in love with Him, that we're pursuing Him, and we're doing so with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. So growing godly children requires parents know God. It requires that we obey God, that we love God. And then finally, we must teach our children about God's Word. We must teach His Word. Look at verse 7. We're told to teach it diligently. This carries the idea of formal instruction. Think of it as a Bible study where we are opening up God's Word, we're reading God's Word, we are discussing God's Word, and then we're applying God's Word. This is something we should strive to do in our home on a consistent basis. I think about the Smiths. The Smiths house has designated Sunday nights. Sunday evenings are our time where we share our struggles, where we share our highlights, and we relate them all back to the Lord. We also make sure that we open our Bibles in front of our kids, that they know that the source of our wisdom, the source of our truth is this that God has given us. So set a pattern. Illustrate this before them. That's not all. Notice verse 7 also says, "You shall teach them diligently and you shall talk of them." You shall talk of them. This is much more informal. Think of it simply as making the conversation go towards God. And then when do we do that? When do we employ this approach? Well, notice the word "when" shows up 4 times just in this one verse. When you sit in your house. How many of us sit in our house? You're probably sitting in your house right now. See, we can do this. So we sit in our house. When we walk by the way, many of us drive our kids somewhere. There is no better place to trap our kids than the car. However, if we're punting that opportunity over to devices, then we've lost any opportunity for gospel conversations. When we lie down, many of us tuck our children in. So there's no better way to close the day out by spending time thanking God for that day. And then when we rise up. In other words, God's design for the family is to make His Word a part of everyday life. And I'll tell you, one of my greatest concerns for the church today is our casual dismissal of this command. Too often, we either just flippantly approach this, or we have no approach at all when it comes to teaching our children the truths of God. You know, a conversation I love to have with parents, and I've gleaned a lot of information from these opportunities, is the intentional ways that we can insert the gospel into our family's natural rhythm. So I want to share just a few of those. This is not an exhaustive list. They are not in any sort of order. But these are just natural ways that we can take that conversation and then direct it towards God. And the first one is this. I encourage you to point out Christ-like qualities in your children. You know, it's easy to compliment their physical talent or their beauty, but I encourage you to make sure that you point out the spiritual virtues that you see in them, like kindness and peacefulness and joy and patience. Also point out Christ-like attitudes like compassion and honesty. Also be discerning about entertainment. Our kids need to see that God is involved in every part of our lives. And talk about Him often. Praise Him when something good happens. Explain how He can help us when something difficult occurs. When you go outside, marvel at His creativity. And sing praises together. Our kids need to see that we have a joy in the Lord that we just can't keep within us, that it has to bubble up through praises. And explain lifestyle choices. Explain why we do what we do. And the reason why decisions are made, and help them understand the motivation behind it and how it's the Word that directs those decisions. And then serve as a family. Our kids need to see the heart, the hands and feet of Jesus. And then make sure that you show your time with the Lord, your personal time with the Lord. Make sure that it is visible, that they see that you are dedicating time with Him. Our kids need to see how serious we are when it comes to spending time with the Lord. Affirm your unconditional love. We can teach a lot about God by the way we love our children. And one of the best ways that these little minds can comprehend the love of God. Discipline. We need to discipline our children. If we truly want our child to love God, we have to discipline. They need to understand right from wrong. They need to understand that there are consequences of sin. And lastly, pray. Pray with and for your child, for your children. By doing so, we're not only teaching them how to pray, but we're also demonstrating how easy it is to enter into His presence. So in order to grow godly children, it requires that we know God, that we obey God, that we love God, and that we teach God's Word. As many of you know, I have had the privilege to serve as a college pastor many, many years. And one of the most rewarding yet most challenging elements of that position were the countless conversations that I would have with college students, whether it was at lunch or on campus or at the church. And sadly, I engaged numerous young people who had walked away from the faith. And during many of these dialogues, I would try to find out exactly what led them to make that decision. And their story was often the same. You know, rarely was it ever about peer pressure. Very few said it was because of their professors. But more than anything else, their childhood experience led them to believe that Christianity was more of a religious activity than a relationship. And as I dug into the reasons why and how this came about, it often came back to this. There was a lack of devotion both outside the church and inside the home. There was a lack of devotion to Christ outside the church and inside the home. Brothers and sisters, God has called us to something we can't pass off to professionals. We can't. Proverbs 22 says we are to train up a child in the Lord. We are. Ephesians 6 says we are to bring up our children in the instructions of the Lord. This is our responsibility. So I encourage you, after this message, consider, think about, discuss with your spouse a plan to answer this call, to fulfill this call. You know, what's very interesting is we are obviously living in very unique days. And it allows us to set new patterns, new disciplines, that we can make Christ the center of our home. Will you do that? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the gift of the family. And Lord, I thank you for the families within our church. I pray that you build them up. Lord, that they are seizing this time to instill new disciplines, new routines, new patterns that are all focused on you. And so, God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, there is so much written on parenting, but Lord, we can go to your word and get very clear instruction to help us in this endeavor. And so, Lord, we ask for your hand to be on us as parents, as caregivers, and our homes. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.